Welcome to the show, David.
Well, thank you.
There's been a lot, you know, in the media just recently about the koalas. So how many koalas do you estimate currently would be existing in the wild in Australia?
Well, there has been recently, in the last few years, some research that's been done on that with people from all over Australia that are experienced koala investigators. And they think that plus or minus a very significant amount of error, that they probably think that there's approximately about 300,000 koalas in Australia at this point.
How do you expect that to sort of change over the coming years?
Well, that investigation looked at each different area of Australia and compared the data that they had and made a prediction about how those things would change. And we think in Victoria, at least, that the populations will stay stable, or there are some places where they might increase in Western Victoria. But across most of the other habitats in Eastern Victoria, New South Wales, and particularly in the southern parts of Queensland, we see that those populations will continue to decline.
Are these sort of particular areas where koala numbers are endangered? Is this because of like the corridors of population growth?
Absolutely. So, I mean, Brisbane is probably the best example. Brisbane was built on some of the best habitat in Australia for koalas. And as they grow and as the metropolitan area grows and spreads out, they replace the koala habitat with houses. And then, just as importantly, we build these very fast roads, roads with high speed limits on them. And the koalas that cross those roads are hit by cars. And that's a really major cause for their decline in certain areas.
So the major threats to koala populations would be the loss of habitat, but also getting impacted by vehicles. So just tell us a little bit, what are the sort of major threats that are, you know, causing so much damage to the koala population?
Well, I think you've already stated it. So loss of habitat is the most important one. Motor vehicle accidents would be the second most important one. Dog attacks happen in some areas, but aren't as uniformly as important as others. In the West, we know that climate change is impacting them in a number of different ways. It's changing the habitat so that it no longer supports the koalas. As it gets hotter, the eucalypt forests are retreating back towards the East Coast. And then the other thing that's really impacting them is the really very, very hot weather over many, many days when there's limited access to water can have some negative impacts on their population. And then we're also dealing with the chlamydia picorum, or chlamydia disease that we see in them. And in certain regions, that's having a very significant impact on their reproduction and long-term survival.
So you're involved with this koala health hub, and you do treatment with koala diseases. And I believe this chlamydia is particularly a problem because it is making koalas sterile, so they're unable to breed. So can you tell us a little bit about what sort of treatment options are there for the koalas to deal with this spreading problem?
Sure. Well, individual koalas that are brought into the hospital, the first thing that we do is to assess how serious the disease is. And if the disease is quite progressed and that they have severe disease of their reproductive tract and can't breed and have cysts in their prostate if they're males, then those animals don't get better. If we treat them and they don't get better, and they're not ever going to be reproductively successful, so they have to be euthanized. If they are, if the disease isn't advanced, then we can treat them with a drug called doxycycline, and we can give that over a period of about a month and a half, and many of those animals will go on to recover and be released back out into the wild. The problem is that there's lots of other infected animals out there, so they potentially can become reinfected again. So one of the things that people are looking at is vaccinations, but even if the vaccinations work, it's very hard to vaccinate large populations of animals. So we're looking at different things, different management techniques and that kind of a thing to try to prevent disease from spreading and to identify where it's a problem and identify populations that don't have it and protect them from being exposed to infected animals.
And so what sort of strategies do you believe that should be in place to try and, you know, protect and reverse the population decline? Is this about a sort of reduction in urban growth? What would be the sort of things, if you were to sort of talk to government, what would be the sort of recommendations you would have to ensure that we, you know, we have to see koalas for, you know, the next few centuries?
Sure. Well, we have been talking to the government in New South Wales, and they're quite interested in talking to a lot of different investigators and people that are working in this field. And the areas that have been identified, first of all, would be to protect koala habitat as it exists. So the first thing is to find out where they are and to find out where habitat is that they might use and make sure that we don't bulldoze it over and build houses on it. The second thing would be to try to do some revegetation in areas where koalas maybe be isolated, so we could create corridors where they can move back and forth across into new areas where they could use. The third area would be to build roads that the koalas can either go over or go under and can't cross in certain places where they're most likely to get run over. And then there is a lot of research that's being done now on particularly on chlamydia, but other diseases they get into looking into ways where we can try to minimize the impact that that those diseases have.
And just before we go, I mean, are there any sort of, I mean, if listeners are, you know, our listeners are really concerned about the issue, what would be the best way, you know, civically for, you know, people that are concerned? What do you think is the best way for, you know, the average member of the public, if they, you know, how can they sort of improve the life of koalas? Is it voluntary or different programs? What would you recommend?
Well, there's a lot of research that's going on that involves local members of the community, and so it's citizen-based science. And there are, in New South Wales, there's a really good program. It's called Citizen. I think it's by Kelly Lee, and it's science. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't remember. But locally in lots of different areas, for instance, in the Southern Highlands, the Wallandilly and the Wingicaribee Shires are really active, and they've got local websites. And so the first thing I would do is go to your local council and find out what kind of information they've got on their website about it and how you might become engaged in a koala project. And then the next thing I would probably do, if that didn't work, would find come in contact with some of your local care groups. WIRES is just one example, but there's a lot of them around. Talk to them about what they're doing, and if they need any help or if they're familiar with any citizen or local-based activities, and become involved with those.
Oh, well, thank you for being on the show, David. I really appreciate that.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.